Do you have the right leaders, the right people in the areas of influence and responsibility that are going to be able to continue the momentum you're trying to create to make your church a place where lives are absolutely and utterly transformed and we're making a disproportionate impact in the community around us? You're going to have to be aware of your structure, because when things aren't working and you avoid it, you disengage people, you disengage your volunteers, and things start to fall apart. And that's on you as a leader and your leadership team. You must deal with reality. You must be aware of what's going on around you. It's your responsibility. It's very dynamic. It could be working for a while and then start to fall apart. The sooner you're aware of it and can get to the root cause, the quicker you can solve your problems. If you let it go too far, it ends up becoming a total rebuild, and that's tricky.
Welcome to the Huntley Leadership Podcast, helping leaders be a positive catalyst in the people they support, the organizations they serve, and the communities they live. This podcast will make you think, laugh, and grit your teeth with new determination to make your parish or business a place of transformation, passion, and purpose. If you're still breathing, you are powered for impact.
Hello, leaders, and welcome back to the Huntley Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Huntley, here to guide you through the complexities and rewards of leadership. Today's episode is especially close to my heart. So for all you missional priests, teams, and bishops, this one's for you. We're going to talk about what I like to call the four wheels on the bus of your church: the health of your team, your organizational structure, the quality of your meetings, and the culture of your parish. Neglecting any one of these can not only halt your progress, but it can lead to the downfall of your church. But fear not, because today we'll explore actionable insights and strategies to ensure that each of these areas is thriving, setting a foundation for a healthy and flourishing community. If you find today's discussion enriching, I encourage you to subscribe, to rate us, to share it with others who might benefit. Together, we can make a profound difference in our leadership and our communities. And don't forget to visit huntleyleadership.com. There, you can sign up to receive PDFs that accompany some of our episodes, including today's, and stay up to date with the latest resources that we're creating to empower leaders just like you. Enjoy today's episode. In today's episode, I'm going to help you realize the mistakes that many missional priests, teams, bishops are making. And they're the mistakes that you can avoid if you're aware of the dynamic nature of leadership. Years ago, my friend Father James used to say that vision is like having the sign on the front of the bus. And if you want to talk more about vision in episodes 87, 95, and 97, we've dove right into vision to help you articulate yours, get in touch with yours, and then breathe it in through your entire organization, whether it's a diocese or a parish. But having a vision is one thing, and I suppose a vision is the sign on the bus. The four things I'm going to share with you today are the wheels on the bus. It's part of the dynamic nature of leadership. If you get these wrong, and you will, and you don't notice it, everything that you're doing is going to go sideways and come crashing down. And as I share these with you, I hope you start evaluating how you're doing on these, whether you're a priest, a leadership team member, or maybe a parish pastoral council member, or maybe you're a parishioner and you're just watching this train wreck happen in front of you. You're going to know why. And so today's episode is really, really important. I hope you take it to heart. I hope you share it with others, because if we get this right, we're going to have way more momentum in terms of helping churches be places where lives are absolutely transformed by the love of the Father, because that is our goal. Our goal is far bigger than just doing church. We're in the life transformation business. And when we do these things wrong, it feels like we're just dialing it in. And that leads to slow, painful death of the church. And many of us know what that feels like. And so do up your bootstraps and grab your pen and paper and let's have a conversation. So what are those wheels on the bus, the dynamic nature? You know, the thing with wheels is they're expensive to buy and they don't last forever. In fact, you can have a new set of wheels, drive over a nail and puncture a tire. It's like, who wants that to happen? But it happens. But then there are other times when we just don't rotate them often enough and they wear on one side and we don't get the life out of them that we should. And that's problematic. Or even if we do take care of our tires and rotate them properly, eventually they wear out. So I guess the point is our wheels are a dynamic part of the driving experience and safety. And these four wheels that we're going to review are very similar. You can be doing well in any or all of these, and then they can go sideways really quickly if you are not paying attention. So the first one is this. If you're leading out of a team, and I hope you are, I hope that that's starting to become something that's normal in missional parishes. If you're leading out of a team, the health of your team is critical. Now, oftentimes when we pick any team, whether it's your ministry team that you pick, there's this euphoria of newness. You wouldn't pick those people to be on your team if you didn't like them, if you didn't believe in them, if you didn't trust them, if you didn't feel they shared your vision and your heart for ministry. And so we start off from this really good place, but things can go sideways. We are incredibly human. Despite our faith in Jesus and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are still human and bound to our fallen nature from time to time in selfishness or just blind spots. We hurt people. We disappoint people. We let people down. And hopefully we don't do it on purpose, but it still happens. I know I do it. I always, when I realize what I've done, I always feel incredible remorse because I would never do that on purpose. But again, that's part of the humility piece of being human. It's part of the vulnerable piece of being in leadership in a team, knowing that I'm going to let you down, even though I've called you into this, even though I might be a clergy. I'm probably going to let you down. I don't mean to. I don't want to. And I don't give myself permission to. But the key is when it happens, the sooner we acknowledge it, the sooner we deal with it, the more likely we are to solve the issue. I came across a slide one time when I was doing a talk for Alpha, and they would give you the slides and the slide deck, and you give the talk, and you had the freedom to include some slides or leave some slides out. And I came across this one slide, and it was done in 1968, and it was the psychology of teams. I thought, 1968, that's old research. Who needs that? And I hid the slide. Well, right before I went to give the talk, I noticed there was a hidden slide in my slide deck. I said, what one's that? And I clicked on it, reread what I've read before, and all of a sudden, it made perfect sense. In fact, I've been using it ever since. The very slide that I didn't feel had relevance was a slide that's actually helped me form teams for years. But it's this. It talks about teams go through the phase of forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. Forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. And that forming phase is the euphoria. It's the excitement. It's like, yahoo, finally, I've got some people I could work with. Oh my gosh, we're going to have so much fun. And the storming phase is when somebody disappoints somebody, lets somebody down, or hurts somebody's feelings. It's like, I can't believe that. And they call themselves a Catholic. All these silly things that go through our head as we tend to judge others and let ourselves off the hook. And it becomes hard because all of a sudden we're storming. Like, something's wrong. You hurt my feelings. Didn't you see the passive aggressive nature I looked at you? Really? You didn't see that? You're that thick, are you? And then all of a sudden there's this distance. You didn't notice my tone of voice? You didn't notice the lack of eye contact in my body language? And so often those are signs of, hey, we have something to deal with, but they're not verbalized. And if they're missed, and they're often missed for two reasons. One, we don't see them. Or two, we see them and we're petrified to deal with the possible conflict that could arise if we actually unpack the look on somebody's face, their tone of voice, or their body language. But the truth is, if you let that go, unresolved conflict leads to adjournment. It leads to disengagement. People stay, but they protect themselves and their output, their enthusiasm, and their creativity tanks. And so we owe it to ourselves when we see or feel the nature and the tone of our relationships with our key people change, we must deal with it quickly. There's a great book called Crucial Conversations that we read years ago, and it was so helpful because there's skills attached to understanding ourselves and how we deal with conflict and then navigating it well. So if you've never read that book, as a team, I highly recommend it. It's called Crucial Conversations. You're going to want to get it because we have to deal with those fractures in relationships early, because if we don't, they snowball. I think it was Jordan Peterson who said, conflict avoided is conflict multiplied. And I know in my life, there's been some terrible examples of that happening. And the longer you let it go, the less likely you are to recover the relationship altogether. So it's really important to invest in your key relationships and pay attention when they're going south. So relational health of your leadership team, of your key people, is really important. This is just as relevant in your ministry. If you're a lay person that's responsible for running a ministry, the same is true for you with your key people. Know who your key people are. Invest in them regularly and pay attention to the quality of those relationships, because when they go south, it puts everything you're doing at risk. And so it's one of the parts of the leadership character that's so important. I want to acknowledge too that if you've done Clifton Strength Finders, maybe you're high in relationship skills. That's awesome. It really is. You're often the glue for a team. But it's also not uncommon for people who are high in relational skills to avoid conflict because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. And so they sometimes can avoid difficult conversations that could clear the air, hoping that it'll just solve itself and go away. I just want you to know that's a terrible strategy. I understand if you feel that way. I understand if that's how you've dealt with conflict in the past. Just don't deal with conflict like that in the future. Get the book, Crucial Conversations, read it, and get better at maintaining the health of your relationships. It's one of the dynamic parts of leadership. Relationships fail. Relationships have fractures, and we can get good at fixing them and keeping them really good, because it's okay for somebody eventually to decide to come off of a leadership team. But I think when we're doing that well, when the time runs out, maybe they were the people to get us this far, but they're not the people to get us to the next phase. And because we have healthy relationships and good conversations, we both realize that as we come to that and we talk about it, and that person's able to eject from the leadership team with their head held high, being very aware of the contribution they made to get them there. And there's a sense of gratitude and teamwork. And then they go on in ministry in the church to continue to do great things in leadership, just not on the leadership team. That's what health looks like when there's an adjournment, like forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. When we get to that adjournment, we should be able to do it with heads held high, with people being able to walk away with dignity. Even if they're no longer a good fit, it's okay. It got us from here to there. Or maybe something's come up in their life that they can no longer make the time. But all those things apply. If I go back to the forming, storming, again, storming is when we're not getting along well. Norming is when we get back to normal. We deal with the conflict quickly. We deal with it well. And then our relationship is restored and we get back to normal. And the more we do that, the stronger the relationship is. Having those disagreements or arguments or misunderstandings is actually an opportunity for stronger relationships if they're dealt with well. Where that takes us down is when we avoid them, and then that leads to bitterness, hurt, unforgiveness. It really is the enemy's battlefield. Unresolved conflict is the enemy's playground. But if we deal with it well, then we get back to normal. It actually strengthens the relationship, because I know we can be on the outs, but we also have the strength of character to have the conversation, to listen to each other, to figure it out, to get back on the same page. That gives me confidence in our relationship. So the goal isn't not to storm. The goal is to storm well so that we can get back to normal. Because once we get back to normal, we can get back to the performing phase, which is that phase where we're fruitful, where we're enjoying what we're doing, where we're firing on all cylinders, where we're seeing the results that our ministry is meant to have as we work together towards this vision that God's placed on the heart of our pastor or our bishop. The more we stay in that performing phase or that flow phase or that fruitfulness phase, the more fun everybody's having. And we'll pop in and out of that when storming happens, when disagreements happen, it's okay. But that's where, again, dealing with conflict quickly and effectively is getting back to normal and then getting the performing again. That's when you have really great culture in organizations, when you can go through that process without losing your marbles, really handling conflict effectively, efficiently, and getting back to normal. And again, adjourning can happen for two reasons. One, that person, or several reasons. One, that person perhaps doesn't have time anymore, or they've gone to another job, or they've been given another assignment, and that's normal and it's okay. Maybe whatever project we were working on is finished and then the team dissolves. And so that's okay too. The one that kills me is when people leave cheesed off. And they often leave cheesed off in two ways. They leave and they give us a bogus excuse, and we don't ever really know the truth, but we knew something was wrong and they're happy to be gone. The other one is when they stay and just disengage because they need the paycheck. And boy, that brings teams down, where they feel like it's not safe to have truthful conversations. And so they just disengage inside. So they check out and stay. And there's a lot of work environments where that's the case. I'm not just talking to the church. It's global. But those are some things that you're going to want to keep in mind. Keep your relationships healthy. That's one of the tires when it comes to leadership teams. The second one is your organizational structure. It's always shifting. So many of the churches I work with, in fact, almost all of them, don't have a structure that they can articulate. And it's okay, but you need one. The reason you need a structure is because if you have a God-sized vision, you're not going to be able to bring it to life by yourself, which means you're going to have to do it through people. And if you're doing it through people, you're going to need a structure, because if you're the pastor or the bishop and everything relies on you personally, then you become a bottleneck versus a bottle opener, and that's not helpful. And so you're going to have to draw great people close to you, just like Jesus did, and then empower them with areas of responsibility and opportunity where they can be creative, where they can create their own culture within their areas of influence. And so that's going to require structure. And it's okay to identify, you must identify your structure, lay down all your ministries, whether you're a diocese or a church, name them all, and then ask yourself, who supports those groups? In some cases, it's the parish secretary. God bless them. Not helpful. Every single ministry should have somebody leading it, and then those leaders need to be supported. And so draw your structure, even if it's a bad one. Define reality. What is your current structure? And then how can you make it better so that not everything relies on the priest? So many priests and bishops do not spend a lot of time leading because they don't have time. They're putting out fires all the time when they're not doing their personal ministry. But one of the responsibilities of priests and bishops is to lead, but leadership takes time. And leading well is investing disproportionately in your key people, because that's where you multiply yourself and extend your impact beyond what you can do alone. And your structure is an important part of that. And the thing is, with your structure, it doesn't have to be perfect. Like in the past, it's like, well, there's my DRE, there's my secretary. You know, maybe that's a person that takes care of facilities and the priest does the rest. We need structures where things can be fluid, because if your person doing maintenance is unbelievable with youth, and it's like, well, hey, wait a minute, why isn't that guy supporting our youth? Well, the youth love him. And all of a sudden his job is evolving because you're getting to see his skills and his gifts, and he's buying into the mission of your church. And so you're going to shift your structure from time to time. So it only has to work for about 6 to 12 months. When you're building it, it's okay if it's not your structure forever. Things will evolve. Evolution will be required for one of two reasons. One, because it works. If your structure works really well and those areas grow, you'll probably outgrow your structure at some point and need to add other layers. You know, at one point in my coaching journey, I was the only one coaching. I coached 19 churches, which was awesome. With all my other responsibilities, we had to start recruiting other coaches, which was terrific. And so I did my churches, plus I coached the coaches I was recruiting. But then at one point, we were up to 13 coaches, and I couldn't coach all these churches and coach all these coaches. And so we had to add another layer of structure within the coaching. And so I coached four mentor coaches, and they were responsible for individually breathing into the other coaches. And so the size of it necessitated a shift in structure. And that's one of the reasons structure needs to shift from time to time. The other reason is if it doesn't work, like maybe somebody in your structure is not able to do the things necessary to have a healthy ministry or arm of that ministry, in which case you're probably going to have to shift them into something, or you're definitely going to have to shift them into something where they're a better fit, which means you, again, have to change your structure. Or maybe you structure a whole area and it doesn't work, and so you'll have to shift it and change. And so always be aware of the effectiveness of your structure, and make sure your structure supports your mission. Your structure must evolve to support your mission. I think it was James Collins, the author of Good to Great, who said, you don't just need the right people on the bus to be effective. You need the right people in the right seats on the bus. And that's your structure. Do you have the right leaders, the right people in the areas of influence and responsibility that are going to be able to continue the momentum you're trying to create to make your church a place where lives are absolutely and utterly transformed and we're making a disproportionate impact in the community around us? You're going to have to be aware of your structure, because when things aren't working and you avoid it, you disengage people, you disengage your volunteers, and things start to fall apart. And that's on you as a leader and your leadership team. You must deal with reality. You must be aware of what's going on around you. It's your responsibility. It's very dynamic. It could be working for a while and then start to fall apart. The sooner you're aware of it and can get to the root cause, the quicker you can solve your problems. If you let it go too far, whoo, boy, it ends up becoming a total rebuild. And that's tricky. The other wheel on the bus is the quality of your meetings. Your meetings need to be great meetings. Patrick Lencioni wrote a book called Death by Meetings. Best book title I've ever heard in my life, because we can all relate to bad meetings. And I think what ends up happening is we get off to great meetings. And I've done a couple of podcasts, one just recently on having great one-on-one meetings, but I've done another one on how to have great leadership team meetings. So feel free to go back and look at those. We need to have great meetings. We want them to be 10 out of 10 every time. We want them to have value for time spent. If people are spending their time in meetings, it has to bring the most value possible every single meeting. And so it's important, like, because sometimes you can have meetings going really well, but then all of a sudden they start to flounder in their fun, their effectiveness, their engagement in the decision-making and the momentum. When that starts happening, pay attention. Shift what you're doing. Dig into what's not working and why, what's changed, and solve your problems. Don't ignore meetings that are substandard. Good people will not waste their time in bad meetings. And so get the help you need to make sure you run fantastic meetings. And the final one is the overall parish culture, how people treat one another internally. It's really important. And again, I see this over and over again in churches where they allow people who've been around a long time, serve a lot, work really hard, are faithful people, but they treat people really poorly. They misuse their authority in terms of their leadership and their ministry, and they hurt feelings and push good people away. That is not cool. And good people can become weird or ineffective in their ministries. And it's important to pay attention to that. And as that happens, have those really good conversations. That's where your structure is so important, because you could say something in your leadership team meeting like, hey, Bob, I noticed Sally's really struggling and there's a lot of complaints coming from her and how she's doing things. What's going on, Bob? Are you on top of that? you know what? It's the first I've heard of it. I'm going to have a conversation with her. So the pastor doesn't have to have the conversation, or the bishop, that the person who supports that lady will have the conversation and find out what's at the heart of it. And sometimes they're hurting and things are tricky. And the very fact that we notice and we talk to them, they feel cared for. We're able to understand the nature of the problem, and we're able to help them strategize in ways to get help to reduce the negative impact they're having on people in the ministry. But other times, maybe they're just too tired. They don't have the skills to recruit, and they're getting they have less and less people, and it's more and more frustrating for them. And so they're getting angry and lashing out because they don't have the skills. So maybe we need to skill them up. Or maybe it's time that they step aside and we invite somebody else from the ministry to take on that role. There's a lot going on there. But the key is how we treat each other within the parish is your responsibility, or in your diocese, is your responsibility as a leader and your leadership team. That's your job. I heard it said recently, and I just thought it was the coolest statement, that the leader's primary responsibility is not to get the results. The leader's primary responsibility is to create the culture and support the people who get the results. Think about that. And if that's the case, that's where this sign on the bus is your vision, and the four wheels on the bus, as dynamic as they are, because they can shift. You can be doing a great job in all four of those areas, and then it starts to slide. But if you don't notice it sliding, if your team doesn't notice it sliding, and it begins and it just gets ignored, and we just keep plowing through and pushing through because we think our goals are so fantastic, guess what? You're going to undermine everything you're doing, and it will come crashing down. I hope today's episode has been helpful for you. I'm clearly very passionate about this topic. It's what we coach into all the time. We have blind spots, and our job as coaches is to be a arm's length perspective, to speak into things that either people around you are nervous to speak into, or maybe they too have become blind to the situations that have become your culture. We're not the only ones that do this. There are lots of organizations that come alongside of leaders to help them create healthy cultures and support people who are responsible for getting the results that lead to fruitfulness. I encourage you to reach out. If today's episode has been helpful for you, please give a thumbs up. Subscribe if you're on YouTube or you're listening this on some type of a podcast. We really appreciate that. We really do. And if you have questions or comments, or you'd like to share some of your perspectives and maybe ask some questions, feel free to go over to our website at huntleyleadership.com. I'd encourage you to subscribe because there are going to be some really cool things coming out. In fact, we'll probably do a PDF from this podcast, and we'll send it out to our subscribers. And so get on that list and make sure that you get the tools that will help you lead better. Thank you for all you're doing. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
I want to encourage you, as you lead this week, be faithful to God and generous to others. See you next time, and remember, if you're still breathing, you are powered for impact.